The definition of insanity is repeating the same thing and expecting a different outcome. Life will often come at you with a big fat wet fish and just slap you around the face that we're in Earth School. And the concept of Earth School is it's really, really hard. That is a really brilliant way for us to address this stuff together. This always happens. Why does this always happen to me? The reason why is because... Hello and welcome to Own Your Health with me, Katie Brindle. So today is Lantern Festival, and it's a really exciting time in the calendar that people don't realise, because it's the culmination of the new moon energy that brought the Chinese New Year in, which this year was the 17th of February, which everyone's been talking about. It's blown up all over Instagram. But the bit that they don't realise is that the first full moon of that new moon energy that brought it in is also a big deal, because it's the first full expression of that new energy. So the new energy is fully expressed because it's come in with the moon, and now the moon is complete. So it's a big deal. And what they would do as part of the celebrations here is that they would have lanterns, and they would let them off up into the sky, but they would do riddles. Okay. And these riddles were there to basically, as a party piece, to be solved. It was kind of a bit like jokes in the crackers at Christmas time for us. Okay. And I wanted to bring to you today, I wanted to broaden that one out a bit in terms of the riddle of life. Because one of the things that I've realised from working in clinic all this time is that so many of us are often, we are a bit lost from the meaning of it all. And perhaps a lot of the narratives that have been given to us as we grew up about why we're here and the meaning of it all and how it's all come about doesn't necessarily satisfy everyone as well as it used to in the olden days, and that we're somehow looking for refreshed explanations that perhaps speak to us in a slightly different way and make sense to the 21st century narrative. And so really today was all about that, was today's episode is to just give you the Katie Brindle explanation to the riddle of life, offering you, in the way that I do in clinic, the meaning of it all and why it is that we have to go through what we do. So that's what today's episode's about. It does slightly verge towards spiritual belief systems. So if you don't agree with me, that is fine. I'm not sitting here trying to create a cult or anything. This is me making sense of everything that I've learned, the way that I explain it in clinic. And I always invite everyone to say, you are free to obviously ignore this or layer your own spiritual belief systems into what I'm suggesting, and maybe it will help you make sense of it yourself. Okay. So that's really what today is about. So the riddle of life really is the kind of the textbook of Earth School, because the way that I like to describe it, which I learned from Dolores Cannon, actually, many years ago when I was, well, I still follow her, but I was looking at one of her posts and she talked about Earth School, and that really resonated to me. And I thought that is a really good way of explaining it. Okay. That we're in Earth School, and the concept of Earth School is it's really, really hard, because the way that I like to envelop that into Chinese medicine, the way that I've understood it, is that the you're put to the test. We have an expression in English, which is to test your mettle. Now, in Chinese medicine, the mettle element is metals in the ground, like gold and silver, and it's also jewels, like diamonds, which are like the hardest of substances known to the earth. But metal also, when you come out from that intensity, goes all the way out to the ether. So it's like divinity itself, which is the lightest of light compressing itself all the way down through the earth sphere, down into the diamond. And the concept of the diamond, which is really important to understand, is that diamonds ultimately are compressed carbon. So what happens is it's just some rubbishy old molecule of carbon, which is sitting there minding its own business, that has converted itself into this beautiful, brilliant diamond that we prize more than anything, and is refracting the light in its purity itself, because it's been shaped and formed and compressed by the trials and tribulations of being forced like crazy by the Earth's movements. Which is a bit like the human soul, because the concept for us is that here we are born into Earth School, and we have to go through extraordinary tests and trials and tribulations in order to come out the other side. Now, in the 20th century, certainly in the second half when I was born, there was a shift in humanity going on in the 20th century, which my grandparents, for example, who were early 20th century people, kind of understood it was their lot in life. It was like, this is where I'm born. I'm in the hierarchy of my grandparents were working class, so they were working class. There was a rigid rule at the turn of the 20th century with the Edwardians. This really got broken down in the First World War, largely, but of aristocrats who, and you were born into the position of society that you were born into, and there wasn't really a great deal you could do about it. It was your lot in life. And there was a belief system with the monarchy at the top of that belief system, which was the king, in those days, always the king, was ordained by God, was put there by God himself to rule, because that was the hierarchy that was going on, and that you were basically put into your position to be where you were. Now, if you translate that into all of the things that I've learned subsequent to that, is that when I look at Chinese cosmology and I look at this thing called the Ba Zi chart, what you see is that it's not necessarily held by your rank in society, which is what it was morphed into, but the privilege of not having to work, which it was in the old days, because someone else did it for you, and you as the aristocrat didn't, and that was considered your right, and then at the top of the food chain was everyone serving up to the highest point, was you had time to develop yourself, because you didn't have to work. So there was an expression that my grandmother used to give me, which was indeed an expression used by the working classes, which is work is prayer. Okay, so that the concept of those at the bottom of the food chain was that they would work and their prayer would be work, and that when they died and incarnated again, you would sort of be slowly but surely going up the food chain. So that when you got to the privilege of the higher classes, they had plenty of time and leisure space available to please themselves, which meant the development of the spirit and the development of manners and politeness, which all sits within the metal element, was there, which is why good manners were synonymous in the UK, especially within the aristocratic circles. It was absolutely paramount to exhibit good manners at all times, because it expressed the fact that you were cultivating your mettle, which was the whole point, because you were in Erskine and that you were here to ultimately cultivate yourself so that you could exit eventually Erskine and go off into the other planes. And the concept being, from all of the work that I've ever done, is that these other planes are far lighter and kinder and basically better places to go, and therefore you really, the art and the riddle of Erskine is to try and get out of here as fast as you possibly can, because the only time you would come back is because you chose to, rather than because you had to. And when you were put to the test and your mettle was tested, which is your higher self, which is all the good things that you are, when they are put under pressure like that carbon molecule, the question is, can you convert yourself into a pure diamond, absorbing and refracting light with no obscurities whatsoever, which was really the testing point to say that you could exit Erskine completely and off you went into the heavens above, or whatever your spiritual belief system wants it to be. But as, according to the work that I've done and listening to all sorts of people, the idea being that it's lighter, higher, more pleasurable experiences. I don't mean pleasure in the earthly sense of the way, like, I don't know, just sort of overeating or just kind of over consuming and thinking, oh, that's pleasurable. It doesn't mean that. It means that higher essence of pleasure. So one of the first riddles is you're in Erskine. One of the second riddles is in Erskine, you're here to pass your test. And those tests are what we would have called in the olden days adversity. Now, once we've understood that there were different levels and that was controlled by a hierarchy of class system, but actually by the time we've gone post-Second World War, that class system is starting to break itself down. Now what happens is we have a consumerist society starting to break through, largely led by the kind of advertising protocols that were coming out of Madison Avenue at the time, where they were starting to have these big brands and corporations starting to sell us things. And the argument that they would use to sell us things was be showing us a lack and then presenting the product as the solution to that lack that in turn would make you happy. So, i.e., if you've got money and you look right, you are going to have a great life and you could sidestep all this adversity and have a good time, which led to a relatively materialistic society, because suddenly everybody was starting to strive towards having all these things because it would make you happier. Okay, and it would mean adversity was no longer a problem for you. Now, if you come to the end of the 20th century, we're all wise to this. And so almost everyone I know, despite whatever level of affluence that we all have, we tend to own things. We have washing machines, we have phones. If anyone's listening or watching this program, you are going to have an electric device of some shape or form and an electric current in order to charge it up. So we have stuff that people didn't have, but we've also learnt a thing or two, and we've also all learnt that it doesn't necessarily make you happy. As my father said, money doesn't make you happy, it gives you a better class of misery. And it used to make me laugh as a child. So my dad didn't say much because he couldn't get a word in. He had my mum and me and my sister. But when he did say stuff, it was useful and that was good. And he was right, because we've learned that now. In the early 21st century that we've just come out of, because we're in the second quarter now, we were starting to really, really learn that, yes, we need a certain level of comfort, and it's very nice to have a certain level of comfort, and we all want comfort. I'm sitting in a comfortable sofa right now in nice clothes, but the reality is it's not the be-all and end-all, and it's not the only thing to strive for. We're asking for more. Now we've got to the second half of the 21st century, where we're older and wiser and we all start to understand things. We realise that money doesn't buy you happiness. We've kind of got together with that. We've slightly lost the rule book of the meaning of life, and we're sort of putting it back together like a really complicated 5,000 puzzle jigsaw that went with really complicated pieces, going, whoa, this is hard, but I think this piece goes there, and let me find a corner piece, and let me go on TikTok and see if someone's got the answer to this bit here, because I'm not quite sure. It's a bit hazy. So what then happens as we start piecing it back together again is we've started to realise that we're not here to sidestep or buy our way out of adversity. Adversity is the rules of the game. And it's not about trying to avoid bad things happening to us. It's about what we do with them. And that is the most important riddle that I wish to offer you here at Lantern Festival, which is it's not about avoiding it. There will always be an example of somebody that we describe having an easy life. And just to put your mind at rest, I've talked about this before, is that normally when you have an example of someone with an easy life, it's because from the incarnation point of view, the previous one was so horrendous that the guides have brought them in with an easy one, just to remind them that they can actually, it's not as bad as all that, and that they can go back into their life tests, because ultimately we are all trying to go up to the light. It's like moths to a flame. We're all trying to rise up. And when we go out of the physical experience into the transcending experience, ultimately we wish to go up as high as we possibly can. So we know that we want to do it. So the idea of where we're reaching right now is that we are looking at our lessons, our adversities, our trials and tribulations as learning points, okay? They're really important box outs at the end of the chapter of learning. And when I look at charts for people, what you will see is what we refer to as the blueprint of the soul, which is the agenda that you came in with and the touch points of learning that were supposed to be addressed during the course of the life. Now, what happens when the rule book got thrown away or got dismantled a bit or got twisted a bit and it all got a bit confused is that we all got a bit confused, and then often we just didn't learn any life lessons. So we're just kind of going round and round the life monopoly board and incarnating over and over again, and nothing was shifting for us. We're just having to incarnate all the time. And actually, despite the fact that life is great in many, many ways, the idea when one goes into soul that there's something sort of lighter and higher to get to basically meant that we were being pulled back down again, and that we're incarnating because we had to rather than because we wanted to. Some people choose to incarnate, but that's a choice once you've passed Earth School. You get to do it again if you want. If you have not passed, you have to finish. You can't free yourself away from it until you pass the tests. You have to pass the test. You have to pass your tests. If you don't pass your tests, you have to come back. I've now said that three different ways, and that's because the guides are laughing at me, going, you have to pass your tests. You cannot pass. You can't do your A-levels until you've done your GCSEs. You can't go to a degree unless you've done your A-levels. There is a sequence to this, and if you don't pass them, you're stuck. So we have to stop looking at adversity, no matter how horrendous it is, as a negative thing. It is the opportunity and the window to expand. It is the evolutionary process, okay? And whilst that might sound contrite and unsympathetic, when I'm in clinic and I'm fully aware of all of the stories and the fabric of many, many thousands of people's lives, because people write to me and they tell me and they're in my clinic, and I've been through the ringer several times myself in this life too. Life will often come at you with a big fat wet fish and just slap you around the face really, really hard. And by the way, often what happens is it slaps you two or three times at once. It doesn't just let you get away with one hard knock. It's like being in the boxing ring with Mike Tyson, and you are just pounded over and over and over again until you are like a pulp on the floor. And you somehow or other have to pick yourself up and go, why me? Why this? Why now? And the answer to that question is indeed the riddle of the Lantern Festivals. Okay, so explained by me, which is the reason why is because you have to learn from your mistakes. And normally, when you start delving into the chart of a person in with Chinese cosmology, is that what you will see is, just like with our health, that the body will whisper, and then it will talk, and then it will scream. And with the healthcare system that we inherited from the 20th century, is that we only started listening when it was screaming. And it's only now, in the second quarter of the 21st century, that people are starting to awaken themselves to the whispers or the glimmers, where the body is talking to you quietly. So quietly you can override it at any moment in time, until eventually it starts to really hurt and ache, and then finally you take notice. So we're learning as a society that we need to start paying attention to the whispers. Now, it's exactly the same with our soul lessons, that the soul lessons will present themselves to us gently, okay? There are notable exceptions to that, because often you will find that advanced souls will go through great adversity early on, because the idea is that their soul energy can actually cope with it when looking at it from a soul perspective. But I don't want to go sidetracked into that subsection, because to the majority of people, most of the time what's happening is we do not learn our lessons the easy way. We're not looking at the blueprint of our soul. We're not reading our charts at birth. In the old days, you would read, someone like me would read a new baby's chart at birth, so that the parents would know what they're doing. They would know what element needs to be balanced. They would even call the child the name of something. So, for example, if you needed more wood, you'd call your child Hazel, for example. Or if you needed more earth, you would call her Amber. The idea is that you would read the chart at birth, and so you would understand the navigational touch points of what the lessons were, that this child needed to learn more patience, this child needed to learn more resilience, this child needed to learn how to understand pain, this child needed to understand the nature of trust, and that the life lessons would come in because it would be shown by the chart. So if anyone's interested in that, this isn't a party political broadcast for my clinic, because my clinic is really full, and the idea of the podcast is to just spread the word. But Chinese chart reading is a very, very simple way to start understanding the lessons in life. But trust me, if you don't, and that's absolutely fine, they're going to come at you anyway. Your lessons in life will always come the same way. And if you've ever found yourself saying, this is the story of my life, this always happens to me, why has this always happened to me? It doesn't happen to them, it always happens to me. The chances are it's because right there in that riddle is the very life lesson that you've come in to resolve. So I would draw a quote from Albert Einstein on this one, to say, the definition of insanity is repeating the same thing and expecting a different outcome. So if for this, for the purposes of the riddles of the full moon ceremony right now, is I would get your journals out and I would start with a simple exercise to write down, what are the things that are the story of your life? What are those things that always seem to happen to you? It always happens to me. I've got them myself. This always happens. Why does this always happen to me? The reason why is because there is something that I am doing which I need to learn. It is the universe screaming at you, just like your body screams at you because you didn't listen to the talk and you didn't listen to the whispers. And that's what's going on. And then what we need to do is to start addressing what they are bit by bit. So for today's riddle, what I would like to invite you to do is to do that exercise. And perhaps if as many of you could write in and contact us as possible, and I will have a look at the answers and I will collate them in such a way that I can start grouping the audience and say, OK, so there's a load of people who've got this kind of thing. There's a load of people got that kind of thing. And I will answer the riddle for you in the next, I was about to say the next lesson. It's not a lesson, it's a podcast, sorry. I will answer them for you in the next podcast recording. So in the meantime, I wish you a very happy Lantern Festival. I wish you a very beautiful full moon culmination of the new Fire Horse Chinese New Year. And let's have a look at this together, and let's use this first year of the next quarter of the 21st century. That is a really brilliant way for us to address this stuff together and see if I can expand what I do one for one in the clinic into a bigger quantum space, and see if I can help you with these life lessons without the need for you to come in and pay 600 quid and see me one to one. So please message in, let me know how you get on. This podcast is delivered from my heart. It is based on what I know and what I've understood. And I wish you a very happy Chinese New Year.